inevitable.
Okay, I got it right now and I'm saving it. So, all right. By the way, we're starting in the podcast, guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Car Culture Podcast. This is your host, Fateh, speaking. I got my buddy, Isha, with me.
How's it, guys?
And I got my friend, Abdulrahman, here.
How is it, guys?
Yeah, you just repeated what he said.
No, come on, let it just slide, all right? I didn't find any other appropriate way to confront your audience.
And the appropriate way was here, appropriate.
Did you see how you pronounce appropriate again?
Appropriate. Now what?
It's not bad.
Appropriate.
I think it's the people, the British people I chill with. I think I'm getting the hang of their accent.
Oh, alright.
No, that's thick. Actually, that's a lot more thicker than I thought.
Aight.
we have diluted enough to this.
Diluted enough for you. Anyways, guys, welcome to the show. It's glad I've got a great friend of mine here. His name is Abdulrahman. First time on the show, I believe.
Yes.
Actually, strongly. First time on the show, and definitely it's going to be one heck of a nice show. Because I go way back with Abdulrahman, so we did share a lot of memories here and there. We're definitely going to have car talk.
Oh, yeah.
And hoping we're going to have car talk.
And the best part is that we are people who prefer imports compared to muscle.
Thank you.
And Ishant, I hope you're not a muscle guy.
No, Ishant's electric.
I'm all electric.
What is he even doing here?
I'm just having him here just to at least, you know, give the people that...
Like the post that you shared on Facebook. Mm-hmm. What's the point of having an electric car if all the tires say the same amount of steering power?
That's actually true.
You can't oversteer.
You do know that, right?
You can't.
You can't.
If you adjust it to it.
There's no adjustment. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the company's telling you literally, fuck up the car, go ahead, do what you want with it.
It's alright. No, it's R18. It's allowed. That's why I want him here. I miss actually having Abdul on the show. Okay, Abdul. So there's this thing I usually do for new people who come over. I have a segment which first we'll talk about your first car, your current car, and your future car. Now, in future car, I've got like two categories, all right? We have future obtainable, that which you think you may obtain in 5 to 10 years.
My dad's rich, so I don't have to worry about that.
Okay, we got inheritance. And then we got the future, like, if you get a Lamborghini kind of thing. I mean, your dad's rich, so we are getting
that. I'm not that type of a guy. I'm not that type of a guy.
So...
No, so, it's not about the roads, bro. It's about affording the car. Talk about something you like. It's something you can definitely achieve.
His dad's rich. He's driving a Passo.
I'm driving a RAV.
A Passo.
But the Passo is packed. Packed. No, it's literally packed. My dad drove it for a day. Literally a day.
Yeah.
Not even a day. He drove it for like 15 minutes. Bro, he parked it. He's like, this is too under power. From a guy driving a 4.2 liter twin turbo car, a 2.2 liter twin turbo, to a freaking 1 liter no turbo 3 piston car. So he could only imagine.
He said, I'd rather walk. Okay, so let's go to it. Your first car.
Well, my first car was a Nissan Tida, 1.5 liter, 2006 model.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, I bought it. I can't say about the price, you guys will be shocked. I drove that car for about 2 months, then I sold that. I got the 2006 model black color RAV.
Was it the Nissan Tida? Was it the sedan, right? Oh, okay.
After selling that, we got the black RAV, 2 liter VVTi. Drove that for about 6 months, got tired of it, sold it. Bought another RAV, but a newer model, with a better engine.
Got tired of it?
Not still driving, still love it. Every time,
okay, so it's your current car.
It's my current car, but every time I feel like selling the car is when I see the fuel bar drop down. And I look at it, I'm like, it's about time I change the car. It's eating too much. It's having, the average is very bad. But then when you're racing with people like Ishant, and you pass them, and he acts like a dick by blocking the middle of the road. So sometimes you feel like, okay.
Oh, it's allegedly racing in Mozambique. Well, no racing is allowed in Malawi, right?
Yeah.
We've always been racing in Mozambique, right?
Yeah, that's our place.
We're always racing in Mozambique. Yeah, it was in Mozambique.
Yeah.
Mozambique.
I so vividly remember this.
Okay, in my defense, I was driving a Toyota Vitz and I beat him. So.
I want to know how you block the middle of the road with a Vitz. I mean, either way,
I had a window, and my window was the bus stand. I was either hitting the Sundar Furniture Building, or I was gonna if I was lucky enough, I would have cut it through. But my car's too big to even take that kind of a cut.
Who won?
Yeah, well, you did. No doubt.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Talking about the Tida, you've driven it for those 2 months.
It's a shit car, bottom line.
Okay, but had to have something good about it.
I feel like the Tida has very good interior.
No. And yeah, the interior. Heavy. The interior was fine. Comfort it was very light, very light. And
how is it light? Is
and
it
usually on car, or, usually on Toyotas and all that, every time you start the car up, the rev counter is always under one.
Oh, okay, so it's
in Tidas, idling, Tidas were above one. That's how my Tida was. And when it came to servicing, to change the filter or the spark plugs and all that, it's very different compared to changing on a Toyota. Mm. On a Toyota, you just pop the if your engine's got the cover, you just take that out, pull out the plugs, and then unscrew them.
Yeah.
Tida wasn't like that; it was more complicated.
Wait, so it was to reach the plugs was difficult.
Yeah, it was difficult.
It kind of reminds me of a Subaru. Those plugs are hard to reach, but. The good thing with Subaru is you changing the plugs, they last you a while. I don't know
how many kilometers.
Tida. I don't know. They actually say 10,000. I mean, you have to do a service every
5,000 approximately. Depending on the car. Germans and all that is 10,000-15,000.
Okay.
But people in Malawi still service it at that
every
at 5,000.
Yeah.
But all BMWs and all that.
But it does recommend.
But
like
you know what I like about the BM, the Mercedes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They show you. Exactly what to service, your front suspension, your rear suspension, your brake pads, your brake disc, your brake liners, whatever is in the car, whatever you have to service, it'll show you how many kilometers you have left regarding that. Like your front shock absorbers, they'll have a certain amount. After these many thousand kilometers, you can change them. Like for example, a friend of mine's BMW, I was going through it, the front shock absorbers, you could change them after 60,000 kilometers. Rear shock absorbers, 59,000 kilometers. Then when it came to power and all that, power was there. BMWs have power only if you press the sport mode. Other than that,
they are always underpowered. Okay, Ishant, you own a German car. I wanted to ask you because there are always jokes about the German engine lights and lights going on and stuff like that. Assuming they tell you always to service it, right?
Yeah.
And you do service it. Yeah. Do those lights initially go off or do you have the issue where it comes pops up again and be like...
Well, just ask him this question. Do you always roam around with an OBD?
No.
What's
the
OBD
portable
chip?
Yeah.
What for?
Every time the engine light comes on, before anyone sees, reset it. I don't want anyone to see that.
Luckily, I don't have the.
Wait,
my car is clean.
Actually, German cars you can actually have an OBD chip.
It can reset your whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine has the Mercedes as well.
Oh, okay.
The engine light comes on in Malawi. It's most common due to the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now you put it up on the system. It takes about an hour or two you have to change the system once you connect it on the system. There's a fuel type you have to change it to Malawi's type of fuel. Because the fuel pumps they've put in there, the Malawi's quality of fuel is we know it's poor.
Yeah, I think you were using E96 for gasoline or something like that. I'm not so sure. E96, E98.
Somewhere about there. Yeah. But other countries, they've got three different types of petrol.
E85.
Four different types of
diesel.
South Africa, my uncle, he owns this Shell pump. Now, when I went there for the first time, I saw that. Like, you over here, when you're going to fill up fuel on the equipment they have, one side is diesel, one side is petrol. In South Africa, there's four. Now, they'll ask you, what car is it? Is it an SUV and all that? So, for whatever car you have, they've got that different type of fuel.
Normally, I heard, like, for example, if you had in America, they have the E85, which is basically the best type of gasoline fuel you can get around. And for a motor car, the amount of change it does to the car's power is tremendous. Like, say your car is,
it increases
230 brake horsepower. you start using E85 on that specific car, you're able to get another 30 horsepower on top just from the fuel itself. So you're adding like 260 horsepower, and that's a big number.
That's a very big
number. Imagine that's that. Like basically putting a mod into your car.
Exactly.
You're basically changing one mod into your car completely just by changing the fuel type. So that's
awesome. And having a better fuel, it actually increases your the life expectancy of your engine.
That's very true, because then it's much more clean, much more refined. It wouldn't give your engine much more
the main thing that comes in the fuel is the dust.
By the way, more tea?
Yeah, sure.
The dust that comes in.
Tea?
Yeah.
By the way, we're having tea in Muhammad's podcast because we're just cool like that.
No, we just love just love the Sudanese tea, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not to mention about the war, but
eh. You're trash. You're trash. Alright. Politics aside.
One thing with petrol and diesel cars is that petrol, mm-hmm. when it comes to cleaning the fuel and all that, you don't have to worry about it. But when it comes to diesel, in Malawi, you have to clean your tank at least every 5 years.
Well, 5 years sounds fine.
No, but the cleaning part is not...
When you're cleaning that, you not only clean... it's not a simple job that, you just take out the filter, you put your hand in and give it a couple of shakes and it's done. Yeah. You take the whole fucking tank out, you clean it. And you don't only clean it with water, you clean it with the diesel. Or you put petrol and clean up the whole thing. You let it dry.
And burn it up, huh?
Like the other day, our Land Cruiser that we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once it comes to quarter tank, right? It starts shutting off, right? There was a lot of dust and everything caught up in the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say where we fill up fuel from, but I'm kind of putting off a company on the side, but let it play. Basically, so my dad told me, when I spoke to my dad, I'm like, the car is just switching off randomly, it's not picking, the rev count is not going above 2,000 RPMs. So he told me that, it's a fuel problem, there's dirt in that, just go fill a full tank. Now when I put fuel tank, it was perfect, right? Because all the fuel was back to the top. Mm-hmm. And that type, and the fuel is on top, the suction is a lot more better compared to when it's completely at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
He came back from out of country, we pulled out the whole tank. Mm-hmm. Now the tank was fitted, there was half tank.
Mm-hmm.
We took it out, we drained the tank, we cleaned it. We caught so much of dirt off the filter inside the tank. Cleaned it, drained it, put it back, no fuel in the car. Everything was gone.
So
half tank, that's about 90 liters.
Wow.
Only 90 liters went in.
When was the last time they actually cleaned the fuel tank?
I don't know. Before we bought the Land Cruiser, I don't think it was ever cleaned. But after we got it, that was the first time we cleaned
What's the mileage on it?
It's about 158k.
That's actually not that much considering how much was actually cleaned.
Yeah, because my dad usually used that car only for long trip from here to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I can write it that if that car have a good 10 trips to South Africa.
Mm. So it just means that being able to use the right fuel type does actually make a good change at the end of the day to the way the car handles its fuel, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, that's awesome, man.
But petrol, you see, the way it's made and all that is very different. So your fuel doesn't actually get rusted in when you're using petrol as
your...
You mean the tank?
Yeah, your tank.
Yeah.
But diesel is like a must that you always need to clean your tank. Maybe in the new cars they must have
found a
better way of using the tank, of changing the way they make the tanks and all that.
Actually, something we'd have to actually ask our listeners or ourselves too. If you guys know anything about that, it would be nice to share some of your knowledge from whatever you guys have been listening to. And if you want to have an input into it, feel free to actually always send a message to Car Culture Malawi. I'm not promoting anything.
What is there to promote? Polypack.
Okay.
Polypack, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Hey, Polypack has to pay me. I mean, the name has been on this podcast more than 5 times already.
Yeah. Land Cruiser has got the name on Land.
They're promoting
it's a car show, man.
You're promoting
it's still a company at the end of the day, right? Don't say that. You just promoted right processes.
How?
You just did yourself. All right, guys, whoever's listening there, you know what to send your money to. I'll give you my bank account.
And bye, Vital.
All right, guys. So next.
And have your lunches at Amarilis.
Stop doing that. I'm actually going to opt for free lunch now that you just mentioned it on my podcast, man.
Dude, free lunch, no problem. I'll just give you veggies.
No problem.
Wow, you're trash, man.
No problem.
Yeah, you eat grass. I don't.
No. He doesn't eat grass.
Goat.
Do you?
Okay, Abdullah. Yeah. So now that we've talked about your first car and your current car, what are your future?
My future car is on the one and only Nissan GTR.
That's Nismo. Future obtainable. I'm talking about 5 to 10 years.
I don't care. There's nothing I want. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more, nothing less. That's the only car.
The R35 GTR.
Exactly, and specifically GTR. Nothing else. Mm. Well kitted up though.
Okay.
A few touch ups here and there. Body lift, obviously. Then what are we talking about? NOS, definitely.
No. Okay, quick question here on the NOS.
Hmm.
Why do people feel the urge to put NOS in a car if you already have a car, say, with specific amount of horsepower? Let's say, honestly, in my case, that let's say if I have a drivable street car that I'd like to drive around, and the best amount of horsepower that I actually put on it would be like 500. Yeah. That's my base. I would not go more than 500. Because 500 horsepower is more than enough to drive on any street, and it's more than enough power to let you enjoy yourself.
If it's
not
a drag.
For a race, not for a drag. I mean for a daily driven street car.
Yeah,
like, I actually wouldn't mind 500 without the NOS, and I would enjoy
it. Yeah, so who said NOS is only used for making your car go faster?
So what else is it?
The gas can come out from anywhere from your car.
So what's the NOS?
That's smoke that comes out from your car in different color, in the specific color.
So that's
North
the only point.
The NOS fudge, I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, NOS.
Too much lightning, Queen.
Not lightning.
That's not lightning, that's Need for Speed.
That's
right
Need for Speed, man.
Need for Speed Underground too. Shout out to that.
Forget that.
you hear
Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious. You saw how when Brian walked in with his Nissan. Drove in with his Nissan. When he started, he didn't need the NOS. Wasn't actually needed for
the winning the race.
For the winning the race,
it was
just for the show.
No, it kind of was.
And it actually
did. Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
I mean,
he did use it.
Did
jump on that other car.
Yeah, I mean,
the pink Barbie car.
The later you own it, the better.
But I actually feel the new.
Yeah, well, obviously that the reason I'll keep NOS is not for going fast and all that. Fuck, it's not shit that you buy on an everyday basis.
Yeah, definitely.
You can do it if you can afford it.
No, the car.
I checked every day
online.
You're like boosting it. Yeah, 1 second there. Like,
every day, I checked the price on it on the Nissan website. It came to about $100,000. And if I wanted a custom interior, this and that, it came to about $110,000. Even a custom jack with my name written on it.
You could do that yourself. Get it done customly and way more.
Yeah, cheaper. Yeah, but look at the quality.
Quality.
You probably have some stone age scratches there.
The whole reason I got into this being a Nissan GTR fan was because of Fast and Furious.
Then I
experienced it once when I went to Maputo with my uncle.
Yeah.
He had Nissan GTR as well, and he took us out one night.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that car is smooth.
Oh,
and you know how the cars are in Mozambique, bro.
Oh yes,
the kitting.
Where we always do our races, man.
Street racing was something. I saw. We were outside KFC having
In Mozambique.
You know, he probably got familiar with
from
GTA
nowhere. From we just saw two wanted. Cars, and we saw a standard. You know this crystal light bubble shaped Corolla.
Yes,
but,
RS.
Yeah, but kitted up to the max.
Yeah.
Fucking neon lights, side skirts, body lift.
How about
the
power?
Oh, dude, when it went, you couldn't. All I saw was a trail of lights.
Well, about those RS models, the old ones, the bubble shape.
They came
in two versions. There was the two-wheel front-wheel version, and there was a four-wheel drive. Those were the ones that actually.
Until date, the fuel consumption of those cars is amazing.
I hear that. I really hear that.
I've had people drive that car for more than 10 years straight. They
can rack up miles also on the odometer. You could get like 600 k's and it still runs.
It comes to that point where you're tired of the car, but the car can still go, depending if you keep maintaining
regularly.
Yeah. Yes,
like that other post I think you had shared it on your story about the guy who had the Mercedes.
the 1 million...
1 million and something.
Yeah, miles. 1 million kilometers on his odometer. His Mercedes went up.
Like, seriously, Mercedes should have given him the latest Mercedes. Like, dude, you took care of a nice car, man. Here's another one.
I mean, free. I actually believe that if a person can manage to keep his car, let's say for 1 million miles, the company deserves to give him the latest model. Exactly. I mean, the company should be doing that, looking out for people. I mean, if they do that, that would be...
Okay, do you know what put me off? Is that when he popped the hood? Hey, bro, the fucking engine was dirty. I can't take it. I swear.
Sad turn of foot.
No, it seriously turned me off. I'm like, dude, you know, you're keeping your car all the way to a million kilometers and you can't just keep the engine clean. Okay. Why?
That is why it's dirty. I mean,
no, okay, no.
Like a million.
No, look, if, if your engine is clean, you know if there's an oil leakage.
Yes, exactly.
If there's any loose wires.
I actually like a clean engine bay. I mean, it's very presentable.
And yeah,
you look at it, you appreciate it.
All right. It's not actually very presentable. This other day, I had somebody look at my car for because I was selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I opened the engine, because I've got the habit of cleaning the cars every day. So he came, I opened the engine, I saw him, he saw it's clean. He goes, like, what if there's a leakage and you wiped it? I looked at him, I'm like, why would I do that? It's just a habit that all our cars are kept clean in and out. He goes, like, no, what if there's a leakage? So you must have just cleaned up everything. So I don't look at the leakage. I'm like, you know what, it's fine. I closed the bonnet. I'm like, this is your car. Sit down and you can leave the gate.
Do you know something? The thing about people here in Malawi, when they buy and sell cars, they don't have the habit of keeping maybe a service history in general. Like, the service history means papers or things like that.
Or at least write it down yourself. Exactly. That, okay, this is what you changed. This is what you've done.
Exactly.
This is how much you've spent.
Exactly.
This is when it was last service. So after these many kilometers.
Well, you get a book and everything.
Yeah, you get a book. But that's from the... for example, you order it from Japan. You order it from Germany. Yeah. You order it from the States.
Yeah.
You all get the service book. Why? Because those guys go to the proper workshop. Yeah. And those guys actually have the time to fill it up. Over here, you take it to any garage. They won't have time. All they'll do, they'll just take a sticker on your car at this time next service.
Exactly. They don't even give you the details
of what they've changed
or what.
Nothing.
Exactly. And
you gotta tell them
is another thing, but them detailing it and writing it and just sticking a note,
Should be encouraged. I mean, all workshops I believe should be able to keep detailed records of their customers' service details, so that when the customer knows he comes for the next service, they can easily know what they change and what they don't change. And this also creates a very good relationship with the customer. He can trust that person or that garage more, knowing that this is what I've changed with these guys. This I can trust with them, meaning that the next time I change something, they can look it back into the history and
know that I've
changed
the part.
Yeah.
And another thing is that you have that confidence when you're driving that if like, let's say your car starts overheating and all that, you know that, okay, no, I changed this last time, it can't be this problem. It should be let me look for another alternative to see what the problem is.
He's very right. So if any of you guys listening have a garage or have people who have garages, it would be nice to encourage.
But the showrooms actually follow up with the books and everything. But just the local garages don't follow
but
up
that,
with it.
No,
that's the problem.
That even showrooms here, let's just say that
if they're doing
most
the servicing,
of the people,
they do. Unless you don't just take
okay,
the parts.
The majority of people who do services here, it's very rare to find them do it within a registered company, or let not registered company, let's say a registered dealer like Toyota.
Like you see when you go
Nissan
to this kind of
something
car firms, there's Toyota, there's Cefal, there's Mitsubishi, there's Stansfield. If you go to any of these, you give them your car, they'll write your quote, they'll put the quote on the side, but even when they do the service, they'll leave a paper inside your car to tell you every single thing they've changed, even if it's a light bulb.
Yes,
they put it that we've changed this bulb of yours. Every single detail.
Yeah, exactly.
And they even write it at the back that this car has been serviced at Stansfield, this car has been serviced at Toyota. And like, for example, you get a car. Now, like the car that I'm driving, the RAV, if I go to Toyota Malawi and I tell them I want to see the service history, they'll just type in the registration number, the entire service history will come out for the amount of times it's been serviced at Toyota Malawi.
So you see, and the problem is the majority of people don't use those companies to service
they're expensive.
Yeah, very
they're
expensive.
Very expensive. So,
and it's a rumor, but I'm not sure if it's 100%. I've heard that people, Toyota Malawi, buy the
How we're spreading rumors now?
I'm not spreading. I'm not even encouraging it. I'm just saying it's something that I've heard.
You should mention that.
It's something that I've just heard. Well, not,
we don't have many listeners, so it's cool.
Well, never know. Shit will start getting viral.
It's cool. I don't know. Thank you.
I don't know how true is this, but I've heard that people sell. So people from Toyota Malawi go to local dealers over here and buy the stuff, and they just put up a markup and they sell it off.
Yeah, I'm not gonna support that or deny that.
No, it could be true. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. We have very high corruption cases here. Anything goes. Anything doesn't go. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
You won't believe it. I actually saw a post yesterday saying there was a driver. There was a job available for a driver. They were paying 450,000.
Oh yeah, that was in Lilongwe.
And all you have to do is drive your car with a number plate DPP.
Anadadi
for one day in Lilongwe. That's it.
What, you don't get killed?
Oh, probably. No,
I mean, okay, we're not talking politics here, but the tension is very high.
Very high. Yeah.
And I don't know, you guys want to make a quick buck, you know where who to go? Contact? Oh, man, that's awesome. Man. Yeah, that's
one thing
great.
Always that you should know about any car is that no matter what type of car it is, every time you get everything serviced, every time you make sure that if it's done by a local mechanic and everything, be present there physically.
I actually agree on it.
Yeah.
Most of the works I've been doing on my car, once I started taking the initiative of being available or having to research on it and then the next day work with the mechanic on it together, I find a better sense of comfort and...
You understand your car.
I feel at peace because then I know exactly what's going into the car. And even when I drive it, it lasts me a bit longer because I already know what I've done to it. And
you're confident when driving. You could rip your car off, clock down to whatever top speed it is. You know that no matter what happens, this car's not going to let me down.
Because you've been there for the whole issue. And you at least sitting there, you know exactly what's going on. I see that most of the time Abdullah has his mechanics come over to fix it at his house for some stuff. Well, no, that wasn't your car, but was it Modestis's car?
Yeah, the BMW.
So they were doing it at his house. So I kind of find that actually much more better than having it to take it to a garage.
Yeah, but then the problem is it's a German. So the guy put his hands down. He goes like, it's better I just take it to my house. Because it was in the month of Ramadan, bro. And I couldn't sit my ass off and look after the guy's car while I had a shitload of work to do. So I told him, take the car, sort it out at your house. When it's done, give me a call. I'll come pick it up. And well, till today, my car's not yet done. Wow. But otherwise, when it comes to my personal cars, I'd sit there for 6 hours straight, but I'll make sure that my car is done the way I want it to be done.
Even for painting, I made sure that I'd go over to the paint booth every day, at least see the dents, like, any scratches, if they didn't do the primer well enough. And... you'd go there and then just start indicating.
Even the car that I have, the RAV, when I went, I gave it for paint. When they finished painting, they gave me a call that you can come collect your car. I went there, I checked the car, bumper to bumper. The bonnet, I saw that there were marks. So he told me, he didn't tell me till I found the mistake. I told him that there's spots on my bonnet. Can you tell me what's the problem? It looked like your bonnet was rotten. So I'm like, yeah, so you guys have to sort it out. He goes like, okay, bring it after a month. Once the sun heats it up properly and it's... like the paints blended in completely.
Yeah.
I took it to him after a month. He got it over the whole thing painted.
That's actually good, man. So if you guys want to actually make sure that your cars are in running condition, it's always best to be available or just be active in the process of it being worked on.
Or you can give it to somebody whose opinion you trust.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or whose work you trust.
But being us, we don't usually do that. We don't trust nobody. Neither do I trust myself.
Yeah, I don't trust this guy. You saw what happened that day.
I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, you should have seen him driving this Corolla before he turned it into this. Man almost got me killed. Only for going to buy bread.
I mean, bread was scarce. Didn't you hear in Zambia people stole like 500 loaves of bread armed? It's real. Armed robbers stole like 500 loaves of bread.
Sad, huh?
Sad. Outside. So yeah, there's that, and so
one important thing: no matter what happens in life, always keep your car your first priority. Everything else will fade, but make sure that your car is your number one priority.
Take note.
Hey, hey. Yeah. What about your spouse?
It's not nothing compares to your car.
What? Are you listening to this guy?
He can't encourage.
Are you agreeing?
No, he's, are you agreeing? He's not going to agree. Either is he going to? Let's agree to disagree.
No, wait. Are you going to choose your car over your parents?
It's not okay.
No.
Now you're confusing. No. No, now you're contradicting my statement.
Guys, off the record, nothing is recorded in the podcast.
No, but look.
I'm sending this to your wife.
Take in note, okay? No matter what happens in your life.
You can buy another car.
Shit could go from right to left. What would, the only thing you do to get everything off your mind?
Go for a drive.
A box of fags, a Red Bull or any other energy drink, and your car. Go for a trip. Go out of your house for only half an hour. You're gunning the shit out of your car, depending on the type of driver you are. You're either a calm driver or you're that type of guy who would want to take the anger out through your car.
Yeah.
Through your car.
He's actually got a point. Like I said, driving is a kind of a certain.
But I wouldn't go so fast.
It's a therapeutic thing. It's a therapeutic thing. In my
sometimes case, it gets to you when you're driving that fast. Be like, yo, you start getting excited from inside.
It's adrenaline. Like,
adrenaline
rush. So basically, you could have so much going on, and the best thing to clear all that out is just go for a drive. Like, rev that, beat the
shit out of you.
Leave it out of the way.
Okay. I think I have a important question. Right?
Yes.
Are you single right now?
That is not an important question. It's out of the topic.
That is so off topic.
This is this is not a soulmate finding. Just
no, answer the question, yes or no.
Ask yourself.
He
wait.
It's his own personal life. It's his own personal life.
Wait. All right, wait. My friend, we're on the same boat.
Wait, it's his own personal life. No personal matters here.
Exactly.
Brought to the table. Put those aside. We're here for the sake of cars. We do not want to know anybody's marital status, whether he's single, married, on the side. We don't want to know.
On the side? Oh, you've got a side.
You guys are trash. Nope, nothing. On the side, nothing.
Only in front and back.
Okay, R18 is over.
Yeah.
So, okay, has any of you guys like been paying attention to new cars that are coming out, or have you at least followed up on anything recently?
I have seen amazing cars. This is the Renault have taken out a new car, then Peugeot have taken out a new car.
I heard
car
about
as well.
The Renault car from
and it
just
is so
today.
Fucking
it's fast.
It's fast. But it's all now the cars are going to be electric.
Not all. Don't encourage this him.
No,
okay.
The new trend which is coming off is like, okay, we need a set of electric cars as well.
Yeah, but not all electric.
No,
have you seen the new Porsche that have been released?
It's
non-aspirated, six-cylinder engines and manual.
Listen,
imagine.
Yeah, I'm trying to say that there's like a new series with petrol cars which are coming. Like, you know, like you're introducing this and we also have this for people who want to go electric as well. So that's happening as well. But now that's like the main focus going on because people are kind of
okay. Look at this car, right? Cars. Renault.
Well, what's the name of it?
It's a Renault, but I'm not sure about the name.
Renault.
This is actually, I've actually seen, Renault Trezor.
Yeah. An amazing car.
Car. What's up, guys? It's Supercar Blondie here in
Paris. I'm not promoting her, guys.
I'm no Trezor, and I want to show you around this incredible car. But currently, I'm in drive. I'm just going to pull that back.
Okay, so it kind of looks like, you know, the SL, the Mercedes.
It looks like Batman's
Gullwing. It kind of it does look like Batman's
Batmobile.
The way it opens up. That's, you could say it's a Batman's Batmobile, but drivable by everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, not one person has to drive it.
But it's too expensive.
Which is
expected.
There was this car, and then there was the Peugeot. I forgot the car's name. That is even an amazing car.
Okay.
The tech they've put.
Okay, here's one thing for you guys. A German, a Japanese, and an American muscle. From each one of these three. Choose your favorite.
What?
A German, a Japanese, and an American car. Doesn't have to be a muscle, basically American, but any of your type. You could choose from these three, from these three countries. What would your three top choices be?
German, huh?
Yes.
What about British?
Okay, how about we make it into like Asia, Europe, and America? Three continents.
I would go for Japan. Japan.
No, I mean from the three, each choose each of the top cars in each of the three continent categories. Asia, European, or American.
No, well, in America, it's Ford.
Ford.
Or what's the Escalade?
Or Shell, yeah.
Escalade, yeah. Those, okay. Those are even famous cars in the US.
Shelby.
Shelby is basically Ford.
It's as American, he chooses Escalade, so Cadillac.
Cadillac.
European.
European.
German, that's BM.
Well, then I'll go. I'm confused.
So Germany has written
for a guy who has a lot of cars, doesn't know German. Well,
I'll choose Mercedes.
Okay,
compared to BMW. Well, the favorite is the SL, the S400 hybrid.
Okay, I've seen that. It's more of a very luxurious.
Very luxurious car.
The car.
S400 hybrid. That's it's well.
I kind of feel those kind of cars, like where you're meant to be driven in to drive it yourself.
Driven in?
Are trash. Yeah.
Yeah. There are cars like that where actually built. For driven people,
Rolls Royce, it's glad Rolls Royce took out a coupe where you can actually drive yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm glad they did that. Otherwise, I would never want to drive a Rolls Royce that was meant to
be. Have you seen
even,
the SUV?
Even these
the
cars.
The SUV?
Oh, yes.
The SUV for.
The Rolls Royce?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about it?
It's ugly.
It's. Well, yeah.
No, it doesn't look
I mean,
nice.
They shouldn't have gone into the SUV.
The Bentley looks better.
The Bentley looks better.
Bentley
does look better. But they should think, like. Compared to what Lamborghini did with the SUV,
the Urus.
Oh, that was nice.
It's a cheap car with it's like a cheap sports car.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you're having an SUV.
Oh yeah, it's actually.
But I feel like they still had a room for potential. Like
yeah,
like
but
they could have done a better job.
They could have done
as a first SUV.
But knowing a Lamborghini, you're not aggressive enough. That's what I felt
Okay, and Lamborghini is very well known for the small cars. So I mean, taking out their first SUVs, they probably. That was
the
effort they put
in. One thing that I don't think Ferrari or any other cars, like sports car, would beat is the design Lamborghini come up with.
Yeah. I think.
Wait, is that in general?
For all the cars.
That's probably your personal opinion. Have you seen the F40, the Testarossa, the 454B Ferrari? Look at the classics of the Ferraris. And the Enzo. Oh my god.
Enzo was the masterpiece after Enzo.
I don't think after the Enzo, all the other Ferraris that came out was maybe the 458 Italia. That was the light LaFerrari. They really took out some really decent designs.
No, but then he's trying to say like the complete remake. Like Ferrari has some kind of element.
Okay, have you seen
the
Lamborghini?
But this one is like completely different.
Centenario.
You won't recognize it.
The Lamborghini.
Centenario.
Let's have a look at that.
Yes, Centenario. Okay.
I have not seen that Lamborghini. How the hell do we spell that?
Have you seen the Lamborghini Terza Millennium?
Let's spell the first Lamborghini you just mentioned. Stop giving names of pasta.
Okay,
C-E-N
T-E-N.
Oh, okay, there it came out. Thank you, Google. You're trash.
Look at the design on this car and tell me Ferrari could beat it by a mile.
Okay, when was this car made or built?
Last year. This is a hot thing in Payback.
I actually haven't yet. I haven't seen that car in Payback yet. Even on
the poster.
I haven't seen it in Payback yet. Centenario.
Payback, Need for Speed Payback.
Oh, yeah. And then have you seen the Lamborghini?
I'd say it still looks nice, but. I don't know. Okay, let me just say this.
Maybe you're not that type of a guy who likes a lot of extras on a car.
No, not really. Actually, I don't.
Yeah, that's
right. I actually like a car more subtle, very little. As long as it just performs well.
All right.
Having that small...
I feel like you're talking about an Aston Martin right now.
No. Actually, Aston Martin is not bad.
Not bad.
It's not very bad,
so
man.
Elegant. I think that's the word you want to look for. Elegant.
Elegant.
Okay, if you're talking about a very nice European car that...
In terms of power, in terms of
luxury and power.
Luxury. Yeah. So, yeah.
The Aston Martin would win. But if you're talking about a European car, now in terms of drivability and driver-focused engagement, the Porsche...
Porsche.
The Porsche does
Look, what Porsche do basically, they'll start off the job in the front of the car properly, neatly. And once they get to the back, they'll just be like...
No. The whole work is at the back. It's the engine. They don't really care. It's never about the looks.
It's about the looks.
The look has been always been the same. It's never about the looks.
It's never about the looks.
The looks always done. It's the looks is the one. It's something that
turns you off.
Yeah.
But with that particular look they've stuck with all this time, just change the headlights a bit, whatnot. But it's the engine. The shit they've been doing at the back is what counts for. The engine.
The engine, the driver compatibility. There's a certain thing in Porsches that a lot of Porsche drivers enjoy. They're having the engine at the back and having
and
that.
It being like a hatchback.
Yeah. And then there's even the SLK. Those are even good sports cars.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I like old SLRs.
Like, remember the one in that came in the... If you've played this game, Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yes, definitely. Who hasn't?
But I think that's where you got the Nissan format in.
No, no, they didn't have...
They had the Beamer.
They had
the M3. Oof. M3. That's the car you want.
Actually, I'm not a BMW fan, but the only BM that got me to like BMs in the first place are two of them. The 8 Series... And the M3.
Oof.
The 8 Series, first thing,
it's quite a costly
headlamps.
Car. It's quite a costly car for an M, for a BMW.
No,
I saw the price.
What do you mean for a BMW?
I saw the price for the BMW M4.
Mm-hmm.
It came up to $150,000.
What model was that?
About 2018.
Those cars are actually raking up in value because, let's just say, they were a car of their time. They've given tremendous power and...
This is the one. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
look, if
this
you,
is the BMW M8.
Oh, isn't that the? Oh, okay, that's the new M8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really nice. It's very nice. I'm not gonna lie.
If in terms of power and all that, if you had a choice between BMW and Mercedes, if you're that type of a guy who likes power,
yes,
then you go for a BMW. But if you're that type of a guy, like if you're a gentleman, you like. Luxurious and all that.
I'm
a Merc fan and I would choose Mercedes over BMW.
Let's just say this.
Anytime.
He's a Merc fan, but he's a douchebag. It means he was meant to be driving a BMW, but he loves Merc.
Yeah, I've got I actually had a BMW and a Mercedes. I drove the BMW, then I drove the Mercedes. Yes, power there was a bit more than in the BM compared to the Merc.
I agree.
But when it came to comfort and handling on the road, I found the Mercedes a lot more stable.
Same year model BMW, same year model Mercedes.
But
when
like,
I drove them,
I feel like Beamers have come a long way now, and now it's like it's a bit.
Yeah,
different.
They've started pushing off on the market now.
They've
after
always
once
been,
they started on the M series.
They've always been at the peak of performance compared to Mercedes. Always, but one thing I gotta admit about the AMG models, especially the exhaust.
Once you put in an AMG kit on your Mercedes, BMW is way behind.
That's
what I believe.
Isn't Aston Martin having
I actually disagree to in that
let's
AM.
Agree
I mean,
to disagree
I, oh shut up, we're not going to disagree everything.
Well, the Aston Martin has the Merc engines inside there, right? All of them are Merc engines.
Seriously?
Well, at least the last one, yes.
I have no idea.
Talk about shutting down a company.
No.
You might as well shut down your company, seriously.
No, but that's how
actually,
do.
Not yours.
All the brands do share each other's engine.
Yes,
it's not
but
like,
okay,
not,
maybe not all Aston Martins.
And you don't say engine in precise, but maybe parts from the engine.
No. The engine itself.
Engine itself. Like
then,
a super.
Then you guys seriously need to game
no,
up.
No, all the other... What do you mean?
Not just you guys.
Okay, Aston Martin in general, you really need to pull up. Like,
dude,
you guys
no,
are getting a ready-made engine from another company.
But, no,
do something
say,
for
I,
your
I,
own.
I, I
no, but
say the only
but he's
important
not
part in a car is an engine.
Okay. Nothing else is important. He's probably not mentioning
well, all. It's a thing that runs the car. So
actually,
basically,
how about you sit on the engine? And
he's probably
around.
Not mentioning all Aston Martins.
Yeah.
He's probably just mentioning maybe
one.
A few models, one
which
specific
one?
Model.
The DB.
Like the Supra, the new nice. Supra. The engine is built by BMW.
BMW.
Inline
yeah,
six.
About that.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
well, obviously, because Toyota have never gone to that point of building a sports car of that level where they could touch
yes.
the BMW, the Mercedes, the Ferraris.
They actually have, but now to have the best inline six available in the market,
where
BMW
somebody would go
really
and choose, like, you know, okay, you have this choice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Toyota put in the GT86, they really thought that it would hit off the market as a really good sports car. But when you sit inside the car, it's like the same design of a Celica. The way
oh,
that
yes.
the dashboard is tilted and all that. They never
actually,
really...
that was the Celica copied their design kind of thing.
Well, so Celica is under Toyota, isn't it?
Yes, but the Celica, the Supra, and the MR2, those three were like brothers or cousins released almost at the same time, each one at a different price range.
The Aston Martin DB11, I just looked it up, a 4-liter AMG
yeah.
engine in it.
No,
so yeah.
Oh, well, it has an AMG engine, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's actually nice.
Yeah.
I'll actually read up on that later.
Yeah, AMG engine, right there.
Oh,
no,
that's
the 2013
nice.
Model.
Yeah.
That's actually,
yeah, but
I'll look it up. I'll actually read up on it a little bit more.
No, the 2013 one was the part of the car.
Okay, so here's a little
Continental.
Secret about... I read about it, but I don't know if it's true or not. But you know how people love the old Supra because of the 2JZ engine that was built by Toyota?
Mm-hmm.
But now that the new Supra came out, it didn't come with a 3JZ engine as the fans or the cult following expected it to be. It actually came with a BMW inline six. So
they should be happy, man. You're getting more power.
Actually, no. The cult always wants the 3JZ. It's an amazing engine, amazing
yeah, well,
platform
to
work on.
It's cheap to maintain, that's right.
It's a cheap engine to work on, and you could get so much power out of it.
Yeah,
but
well, your mods, your
exactly aftermarket accessibility was easy.
Yeah.
But here's what I heard or what I read at that time. They said that when Toyota was developing the new Supra, the only reason they didn't build the 3JZ was because apparently the guy who was in charge of building it, instead of using the research and development funds to work on a new engine, I don't know if this is true or not, he probably used the money for his own personal gains and he went to BMW and outsourced the
engine
to have it already done by BMW, which was going to be much more cheaper, and so it was going to be an inline six already built.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he decided that it was
going to
be
scratch,
I mean if you're going to design a whole new engine from scratch, research and development was going to be so much costly,
obviously.
So he, instead of all that money,
and
he probably wasted
that
all
that
money
that
and
good.
Invested it in himself in hotels and other things. I don't know again if this is true, I'm just saying what I read. And I'm not even going to mention where.
Well, yeah, let's just hope.
Well, the parts are readily available. There's a lot of advantages of just using someone else's engine. Everything
I mean, outsourcing
right
it. Yeah, I mean, it's
well, obviously
right
that when once the
because you
like,
don't know the
if the engines come from BMW, they maybe have done their own.
And remember, it's an inline six,
so
which is already perfected.
Changes at least to make it look like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, Toyota have put in a bit of work.
That's
in
what I was
actually
trying
no,
to say.
But actually look at it. An inline six, which has already been built, outsourced by BMW. That's an engine that which has already been built way back, so it has already been perfected. So all you have to do is probably whatever little small tweaks you have to do, you don't have to pay much.
Mm,
it's just
true.
A small man job, so
yeah,
you wouldn't have to pay much. But I still would like to see a 3JZ being researched and developed on
and
for
maybe
a long
they
time.
Are,
you know,
maybe
what,
they are doing it, just not
I
ready right
so.
Now.
What
was
surprising
it was
is that
actually
in
took more than
GT86...
13 years since the development started, and this is what they came up with.
Well, the GT86
so
came to Malawi, and it was, I saw it at Toyota Malawi,
mm-hmm.
in the orange color.
Oh,
I felt it was like, yeah, Toyota have done a really good job.
I
but
like
as time
car.
Passed,
mm-hmm.
as you saw the car on a regular basis, you start noticing that compared to the year it's made in and compared to the other cars that are out in the market,
yeah.
it's really stupid for them to make such a car.
No, okay, can I tell you something about the GT86? Maybe something you haven't learned. The GT86 comes from an old chassis of a car which was called the AE86. This was a very small, short wheel based car, and it had a very small engine. It was a rear wheel drive car. It was called the Panda Trueno AE86. So this car wasn't specifically for power, but more for playing around in on curves
yeah,
and mountain
them.
Roads. So when
really?
They built this new GT86, it was based on that.
Completely
it wasn't made for power. It was made for the drivability and the fun where you could take it into corners and play around with it. That's why it was a rear wheel drive, doesn't have too much power, and it just
But good enough power to have a lot of fun with.
Exactly.
The price was hilarious though.
Actually, right now the prices have gone down. I mean, you could get a second hand one online. Imported for like $13,000, $15,000. The price has dropped tremendously, which is a good thing.
I feel that's still a bit too much.
It's still a bit too much for that.
I mean,
at the
for the package
price.
You're getting, you're not looking, if you're looking for a car just to play around with, and considering the amount of aftermarket parts that are available for this car right now,
obviously, man,
it's a very good deal.
Hmm.
It has a huge aftermarket support.
That's
so
true.
From the power to the chassis, all that goes into play. And I think it does work as a perfect car, I mean, in regards in that area. So,
yeah. Well, to sum it all up, always keep your cars clean.
Who should to sum it up? Are you closing my podcast for me?
Well, I think I should, because
the door's right there.
I'm
up for that. I want to replace this guy. We can overthrow him, can't
exactly.
We can
it's
do
it.
No,
we don't need him, right?
All we need is
we
need is access to your website.
No, we
it's
don't
not
need
a website,
that.
Dumbass, and that you already lost access.
Okay, whatever the case is.
It's a podcast. Guys.
You know who to ditch.
It has been a very good podcast, guys. What do you say?
It was fun.
Definitely. Got to learn a lot.
Yeah, and actually knowing that you are around, you actually know this much, I'm not surprised to actually drag you into the next one for no reason at all.
I've been working on cars since the age of 12.
Yeah, I know.
I've dropped a gearbox of a car, and when putting back with mechanics,
exactly,
they cracked it.
It's not something to be proud of, though.
No, it is.
I didn't literally drop it. I opened it and got it dropped.
I thought you literally.
Oh my god!
I literally thought he dropped
it. One thing: never buy
a
Mitsubishi Pajero. I know, Fata, you have one. I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Oh no! Okay. Mitsubishi Pajeros are amazing cars. They're very comfortable, but they're expensive to maintain, and the parts are difficult to find considering money.
One small incident costed us very heavy, and one thing is that whenever you're climbing uphill with a Mitsubishi Pajero, never think of putting your foot down. You'd either take it up slow or don't take it up at all.
Remember when I used to take mine up and all that smoke
it's like there's too much of force going onto the engine. Literally, it came to a point where we had a Pajero, my dad was taking it uphill.
Oh yeah, I remember
the chain inside the engine.
Yeah.
It cracked. The chain. It cracked. On top of that, the gearbox, right? We checked that the oil kept on dropping. We towed the car back home.
Mm-hmm.
We opened it the next day, only to find out that only due to a small seal inside the gearbox, that was causing the oil leakage.
Yeah.
We opened up the engine up. We took out the oil chain and we replaced it, because what Pajero come with a single line chain. This time we put in a double line chain, so you know it's more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just crack up easily.
Mm-hmm.
We sealed the engine up, but with not even a week, man, we had to get rid of the car.
The same problem happens with X-Trails as well.
No, X-Trails is a whole new different brand.
About
them.
Yeah,
ugly.
Yeah,
but
no,
they don't look ugly, but they're super light for an SUV.
Yeah.
And
it's
very uncomfortable.
It's a very cheap SUV. Very cheap.
Very cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cheap.
Anyway.
So we wrap it up, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so Abdul, how do people reach you?
Well, just reach Fateh, he'll reach me.
Okay. Remains to be unknown. Agree to disagree. And you can follow us on Car Culture Malawi. Car Culture.
And just everyday tips for your car. Every morning before leaving your car, check your oil, check your coolant, and make sure your cars are fucking clean, for the love of God.
Take note, guys, and always wear your seat belts.
Abdul will come and clean it up for you.
For a price.
For free.
For a price.
For free, he said.
For a price. I repeat, for a price.
Okay, guys, this has been another awesome podcast. Make sure to send all your questions to Car Culture Malawi. This is again your host, Fares, speaking. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Keep supporting.
Peace out.
Till the next time. We'll see you again.
Okay.
All right. Good night, guys.
Peace out.